Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you all for joining today's class. So, so I would like to start today's class by seeking the blessings of Guru Gauranga and all the assembled Vaishnavas. So let us recite these prayers before starting the class. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayamudhirayet. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So before starting the class, I would like to just give a little prelude about what happened last week. I couldn't attend last week, but I read the previous few verses. So it says that when Krishna, after establishing Yudhishthira Maharaj as emperor, he was actually planning to leave to Dwarka. And that is when actually Kunti Devi was actually much senior to Krishna. She was like, she was Krishna's aunt, like a mother. Krishna was treating her like a mother. Even though she knew that Krishna, it is not improper for Krishna to come to her. It is proper to Krishna to come to him, to her, to take the blessings. But knowing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she herself goes to Krishna. When Krishna is about to leave, she makes herself, she comes. So, and then before that, we wanted to talk a little bit about Kunti Devi, like what she is like. Because if you see, there are only few devotees who actually knew about Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead when Krishna was on this planet. It's like Pandavas, Bhishma Pitama, Kunti Mata, and Vyasadeva. So there are very few, and few others know. So it is very, in certain circumstances, it is very embarrassing even for Kunti Devi to actually come before Krishna and then talk to him in this way. But yet, out of so much deep attachment and love for Krishna, she keeps that aside, and then she starts glorifying Krishna, even though in her age, he is actually very less, very small. In front of everybody, she glorifies, because knowing that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I'm actually going to do this verses 18 to 22. So, the section theme for this one, from 18 to 20 verses, it describes Kunti's expressing in a very, very concise and simple-heartedly the deep and profound understanding about Krishna's position. And she's also indicating her amazement or bewilderment of all pervasiveness of Krishna and localized feature of Krishna. And in verse 21, Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation of descendant of Lord Krishna, or descent of Lord Krishna. In 22, Queen Kunti glorifying the spiritual body of Lord Krishna. So let us all recite this verse together.
Brahma tejo vinirmuktai atmaje sah krishnaya prayanabhimukham krishnam idam aha pratah sati.
Thus, saved from the radiation of the Brahmastra, Kunti, the chaste devotee of the Lord, and her five sons and Draupadi addressed Lord Krishna as he started from home. So what happened was, as he was starting, as Krishna was about to leave to Dwarka, then Uttara actually came running towards Krishna asking him to save her. Because at that time, Ashwatthama actually released the Brahmastra. He wanted to actually end the Kuru Vamsha, because he knows that the last heir, the Kuru Vamsha, was actually growing in the womb of Uttara. So he released the Brahmastra to end that forever. But then all the Pandavas know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in that circumstances he is the only one who can save from the Brahmastra. So she came running, and then Krishna actually took his Sudarshan Chakra, and then he actually saved her from within the womb. This was seen by everybody. Even Kunti Devi was there, and that was actually her bewilderment. We will see in the next verses why she says, how the Lord can be standing within and without. Like, how is that he gave protection to Kunti Uttara? How is that he went inside and then protected the child in the womb of Uttara? So we will see in that next verse. So after protecting this, then when Krishna is about to leave, this is what? Then all the chaste devotees of the Lord, the Kunti, the chaste devotee. Here Kunti Devi is specifically called as Sati or the chaste. So here the specifically Prabhupada has given a very much importance to this word Sati. Sati is chaste. But here Kunti Devi doesn't have a husband. And then now Prabhupada has specifically said, even when he was there, he said to his devotees who have actually lost their husband, he told them, now that you have lost your husband, now you treat Krishna as your, not as your husband, but you seek complete shelter of the Krishna. Because in this world, women actually take the shelter of their husband. Like, they are very faithful to their husband. So in the case of Kunti, she was faithful to her husband. At the same time here, she was completely surrendered to Krishna. That is why here the chaste devotee is called completely. It is not that at the time when she needed the help, like, she didn't think of, okay, now let me go to some demigod for the help. So chastity is like at every point of the time you actually take the shelter of one person. Like a wife, for everything she depends on her husband. That is the safe, that is her chastity. Similarly, a devotee's chastity is, for everything you depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So that is actually stressed in this particular verse. Yeah, let me actually... And then Kunti Devi starts glorifying Lord Krishna. So let us recite this verse. Kunti uvacha namasye purusham tvadhyam ishvaram prakrite param alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahir avastitam. Srimati Kunti said, O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of the material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. Here, there are so many important points which we need to know from this verse, because here Kunti Devi is addressing Krishna as Purusham Tva Adhyam. Adhyam is original. Tva is you. Purusham is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she is saying, you are the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purusham Tva Adhyam. And also here she is saying, Ishwaram Prakrite Param. You are the controller beyond the material cosmic. Even the material cosmics you have created, but you are the controller beyond it. This is Param. You are beyond it. Next she says, Alakshyam Sarva Bhutanam. So he says, you are invisible to all. And then Antar Bahir Avasitam, even though you are within and without. Even though you are situated within and without, but you are invisible to all. So let us go in detail about these 4 points. Purusham Adhyam, the original Supreme Person. So even if you see in the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma, who was the first, he is the first person being created by the Supreme Lord Krishna, he also prays Govindam Adi Purusham. So he is addressing the Supreme Lord as Adi Purusham, the original person. So it is not that just Kunti is addressing and nobody else. No, it is there. So Brahma is also addressing. So Krishna is specifically, why she is saying the absolute truth? She is the original person. Kunti is saying because there is no other origin beyond Krishna. He is the source of everything. And then it is also said, Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. So many of you. And then there is a distinction here we need to understand. Even though, like Lord, the living entities are eternal, they are transcendental, but yet they are not the original or they are infallible. These are the 2 points which we should remember. Though the transcendental, they are not original, they are not infallible. So here actually in one of the lecture, Rumpad Maharaj has clearly, very nicely given. So in this material world, if you see, so we see that there is a mother and father. They are actually a source for their children. But are they the original source? No. Their mother and father is the source for them. So that means they are not there. Again, if you go up in the chain, if you will see that nobody is the original source, even though they act as a source, temporary, but they are not the original source. And if you keep going back, and the first topmost person is Lord Krishna. He is the original person. And there is no source for him. He is the source. So that's what he said. He is the mother and father of everyone. But yet he doesn't have mother or father. So here Maharaj also expressed that there is other feeling in Kunti Devi. Like Lord Krishna is respecting Kunti as a mother. And Kunti knows that there is no mother and father for Krishna himself. Because he is the source of everything. He is the mother and father of everything. But then yet he is trying to respect Kunti Devi as a mother. So this is her feeling, internal feeling of Kunti Devi. How it is embarrassing, like, for her, like, even though she is transcendentally happy for that position of being Kunti Devi, but it is like, and she is knowing the magnanimity of Krishna, even though he is the source of everyone, but still he is acting like a subordinate and respecting Mother Kunti. So it's like Krishna gets off the chariot and touches Kunti and seeks her blessings to have a safe journey back to Dwaraka. This is what, like, you are the source of everything and you are the controller of everything, and now you are asking for my blessing. So this is, I cannot express how the feeling of the devotee would be when somebody is in that position. Like, the next is Ishwaram Prakrite Param. So controller beyond the material cosmos. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself says, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. So he says, this material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under, you have to see, under my direction. And there, Kunti Devi is clearly saying that you are the controller beyond the cosmic manifestation. So what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita is exactly what Kunti Devi is saying. Krishna is saying that material nature is under me, is controlling. And here Kunti Devi says, you are above the material nature. So you are never subjected to the laws of the material nature. You are beyond it. So this material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction. O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings, under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So Alaksham Sarva Bhutana. So is invisible to all the living beings. So how is he invisible? So there are a couple of points. We'll go in more detail, but couple of points here. He says, The Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedesya sarve rahameva vedyo vedantakrit vedavideva chaham. Sarvasya chaham hrudi sannivishto. So He is sitting in the hearts of every living entity. And we cannot see Him as such. But He is sitting, He is there, He is invisible. In that sense, He is invisible to us. We cannot see with this material eyes. He is sitting within the heart of every living entity. And then again in the 18th chapter, 61st verse also, He says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hridayeshu. So here, why I am putting this Bhagavad Gita slokas and why I am comparing it with what Kunti Devi is saying is, it is in line. Because whatever as Krishna has told, she actually was not in the Mahabharata, in the war. She didn't listen to this Bhagavad Gita. But then, how is that whatever she is speaking is exactly what Lord has already told in the Bhagavad Gita? So from this we can understand that Kunti Devi is a self-realized soul. Even though she didn't hear the Bhagavad Gita, what spoken to Arjuna, she was exactly quoting what Krishna has told in Bhagavad Gita. So the translation of the 18th chapter 61st verses, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wandering of all the living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. And we can take the example of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. So when Hiranyakashipu was completely frustrated because he didn't know from where Prahlad was getting protection, and then he desperately wanted to know who is the source, and then Prahlad says, the source who is actually protecting me is actually the source, like the source from where you got your energy is the same source where who is protecting me. And then, can you show me? And then he says, he is everywhere, but why can't I see? That's what Hiranyakashipu says. Then he says, you need to have the devotion in order to see him. He is invisible, he is only visible to the devotees. So you have to anoint your eyes with the devotion, then only you will be able to see the Supreme Lord. And here Prabhupada, in one of the lecture, he gives a very, very nice example, like how the Lord is situated within the heart. Just like on a bird, there are just like on a tree, one bird is actually enjoying the fruit of the tree and another bird is witnessing it. And he gave an example in this material world, especially most of us have encountered this. Daily, we will be seeing some people who will be walking with their dogs. So, if you see, the master, he knows what does the dog do. The dog will actually do urine and pass stool, and then it will run here and there. But even though the master, he might be a millionaire, but he is patiently waiting for the dog. He is spending time with the dog. Why? If you ask him the question, why are you doing? You are a millionaire. Why do you want to waste time like this? I love my dog. Only the reason is love. That is the reason only. The Lord is actually sitting in our heart, in each living entity, because He loves us. Even though we are wandering in this material world, He accompanies us so that He wants to get us back. He is letting us wander for some time. And then through this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and through the association of the Vaishnavas, we will actually come back to the Supreme Lord. So He is compassionate and He is loving and caring. That's why He is always accompanying us, invisible to us, as Paramatma within the heart. Like another example Prabhupada gives about is like children, they'll be playing in the on the beach, they'll be making some sand castles. The father, he knows that this is temporary, these castles are not going to stay, but he will still let the children play. And then after a while, he'll take them back. Similarly, the Lord, He's letting us play in this material, even though He clearly understands that this is not going to go forever. But He's patiently waiting so that we get back to Him. One day we will wind up this business and then go back to Krishna. And there is one example, like when Prabhupada was asked by one person, can you show me God? Then Prabhupada immediately replied, do you have the eyes to see God? So people actually, without the purification, they just want to see the Lord with their material eyes. They don't know. Only the people like Kunti Devi, who understands that Lord is invisible to all the living beings. The people wanted to actually see with their material eyes. And Kunti Devi says, it is not possible to see with the material eyes. Only by the mercy of the Lord you can see. And also Prabhupada talks about another example about Aurobindo Ashram, where maybe I don't want to mention that. We'll just skip that. So if you want to see, even though the Lord is invisible to all the living entities, if you want to see, what is the process? You have to actually follow the Mahajano Yena Gataha. So we need to follow the Mahajans, like Kunti Devi, Prahlad Maharaj, and Vyas Maharaj, and Prabhupada in our times. So when we follow their footsteps, we will be able to see the Lord, even though he is invisible, but out of his causeless mercy, he will make him visible, make himself visible to us. And there is a last one in this verse, which says, Antar Bahir Avastitam, existing both within and without. So this is what I was mentioning earlier, when Uttara came running towards Lord Krishna, and then Krishna protected her, especially protected Parikshit Maharaj, who was growing in the womb of Uttara. That is when Kunti Devi is like puzzled for a moment, like whether Krishna is all pervasive or whether he is localized. So that's why Prabhupada brings this point out. But yet, because she surrendered soul to Krishna, Krishna immediately clears her heart. That's why again she is saying, Queen Kunti affirms that the Lord, although both within and without all living beings, is still invisible. So even though they are puzzled for a moment, the Lord gives understanding, full understanding immediately to correct their, to correct them. And it is up to Krishna whether to be invisible or not. So Krishna, he reserves the right not to be exposed. So here, Atha Sri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indriyai. The indriyas, with these indriyas, the senses, we cannot perceive, we cannot see the Lord, we cannot touch him, we cannot hear his name, his pure name. Why? Because we are not pure. We are, unless we become purified, we cannot see him or we cannot hear him fully. So what is the process of seeing Krishna? Maya saktamana partha yogam yunjan madashrayaha. These are the verses. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. So you have seen in Brahma Samhita, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. What is the complete? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santas sadaiva hrudayeshu. So he says that how they are able to see, how the saintly persons are able to see, out of love they anoint their eyes with devotion, with the love for Krishna, and through that only they are able to see the Krishna, and Krishna will allow them to see. So one has to develop this love for Krishna, only then the Krishna will allow us to see him. So this is how we can see Krishna. This is the process to see Krishna. And what those saintly persons recommend? Svakataha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hradayantasto Hi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suhrasata. So that since there are a lot of abhadras in our heart, that is the reason we are not able to see Krishna. And when you listen to the holy names, when you listen to the Krishna Katha, then all those abhadras are gone. All those abhadras will go away, and the loving, the love for the Lord instills within our heart, and then only we can see Krishna. So the foremost thing here, what they say is Shravanam, to hear the holy names of the Lord and to hear the pastimes of the Lord. And Prabhupada very, very nicely narrates his own personal example, like at one time when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj was giving a class, and all of them were actually listening, and I think there was some temple puja or something was going or darshan harti, and everybody actually left, but then only Prabhupada was sitting, and then with rapt attention he was listening to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada says that is the only qualification in me that has made me come closer to Krishna. So that is why when you see the recommendation, this is what Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. So when somebody is very much interested to listen the holy name and to the Krishna Katha, that is actually the first step. That is actually the first and the foremost step. And that will actually lead to take away all the badras from the heart and then instill the loving devotion towards the Lord. So let us go to the next verse, 1819. So we'll recite this verse together.
Maya javanika channam ajnadhukshajam avyayam nalakshyase mudhadrusha natho natyadharo yatha.
Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor addressed as a player is not recognized. I'll read this again. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor addressed as a player is not recognized. Actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So this is also a very heavy verse. So there are a lot of points with this verse. So what these are all the, actually Kunti Devi is actually depicting all the difficulties in understanding Krishna or seeing Krishna. So Maya Javanika Chana. So covered by the curtain of deluding energy. So that is the reason, because this Maya is so strong, it is so deluding, and all the living entities are covered. That is one of the factors that is making us not to see Krishna. That is one of the difficulty. So if you see in the modern scientist, they are actually trying to understand the material nature, and all their attempts are actually failure. They cannot even understand the material nature. What to understand about Krishna? Because Krishna is beyond the material nature. So you need to cross material nature in order to understand Krishna. And first of all scientists are trying to understand Krishna. And they are baffled. They are baffled and they conclude that material nature is in itself the supreme. There is nothing beyond that. Because they cannot cross it. They cannot go beyond that. And then here in the verse, it says, ajna jokchajam. So, no sufficient knowledge. Ajna means no sufficient knowledge. Why the living entities doesn't have the sufficient knowledge? First thing is, the curtain, the Maya curtain is so strong to cross over. Second thing is, we don't have enough knowledge to cross over. Why do we don't have enough knowledge? Because we are, all the living entities are, under the Rajo and Tamoguna. Unless we come to the platform of Sattvaguna, then only we can make an at least attempt to actually understand. So these are the two factors. Next one is Alaksham Sarvabhutana, is invisible to the living entities. Actually, it's a continuation from the previous verse. So here it says adokshajam. Adokshajam means beyond the range of material conception or sense perception. Actually, in one of the lecture, Prabhupada has given very clearly about what is akshaja means. Like in an English words, we have A to Z, and then all our knowledge is like developing or generating some words within that A to Z and playing around with that. That is what the material energy is. It is limited between A and Z. Similarly, in the Sanskrit, we have A and Ksha. So all we do is trying to do everything between A and Ksha. Ja means generating. So Aksha Ja means generating or playing around within those two words. And Adoksha Ja means he is beyond that. So it is very difficult to understand because Lord is beyond the range of material conception. Akshaja is within the material conception, but Adokshaja is beyond the range of material conception. So these two, Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam, invisible to the living entity, this was actually in the previous verse. And Adokshajam, he is invisible because he is beyond the range of material conception. Why is invisible? Because he is being. So it is a continuation of the previous verse. So here actually Maharaj clearly explains about, he says that there are two important factors here. One is a philosophically and the devotional. Two concepts are given here. One is philosophical conception and the devotional concept. The philosophical concept here says, we have to use the senses to serve the one who is beyond the senses. It is philosophy. It's very even hard to understand. Adokshaja is one who is beyond the sense perception. But how do we do that? We use our senses to serve the one who is beyond the sense perception. Beyond the senses. And actually Maharaj gives an example of, like in the second chapter we have this first question. That is the reason why all the rishis ask the first question, okay, what is the essence of all this Vedic knowledge? What? To serve Adokshaja. So Savaipam Sampravo Dharmo Yathobhakti Radokshaja Hayetuki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. And the devotional concept is actually bhakti. Bhakti, bhaja is actually the root word of the bhakti is bhaja. Bhaja means practical engagement of the senses in the spirit of devotion. Again, why? To realize the Adokshaja. So, and our Krishna consciousness philosophy is not an armchair philosophy. So, it is, so Krishna is all pervasive. And we can realize him only by engaging our senses in the service of the Lord. That is actually called bhakti. Like bhaja, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. I have already covered this. Adokshaja means where these kind of speculations begins from A to Ksha. Not that. The next word in this verse is avyayam. Is reproachable, defectless. There are so many synonyms for this. Perfect, unlimited, imperishable, or inexhaustible. If you see, Lord Krishna says the same things in two verses or even more. I could only see. This is what, again, I am mentioning this again. Whatever Kunti Devi is telling, actually Lord has actually clearly explained this in the Bhagavad Gita. So her understanding is perfect. So in the translation of the verse 7:13 is, deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So that is the world of avyayam, inexhaustible or defectless. Yes. And the next, in the 7:24, the Lord says, unintelligent man who do not know me perfectly, think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is again imperishable and supreme, which is avyayam. They don't know my nature, which is avyayam. And Kunti Devi is actually specifically calling out them. Because your nature is defectless, you are perfect, you are imperishable and inexhaustible. So, nalakshase mudhadrasa. So, invisible to the foolish observers. Because it is said, here actually Prabhupada gives out so many, the Krishna's divinity, he mentions, even when Krishna was there personally, he was actually doing so many superhuman activities. So even though he has appeared in different incarnations like Rama, in Narasimha, he did many superhuman activities, especially in the form of when he appeared as Krishna, right? He did so many superhuman pastimes, like when he was even a baby, like around 7 days or some days old, he actually killed Putana. And then when he was like around 7 years, I think like 5 or 7 years old, he actually lifted the whole mountain of Govardhan, just like the frog's umbrella. He lifted it and stood on his pinky for 7 days and 7 nights. So in spite of hearing all this, what to speak of now, in spite of seeing all those things when Krishna was present, there was people who were not accepting the Lord's authority. And that's the reason he says, foolish observers. That's why, Mudhadrisha. So you are invisible to this. So even though they are seeing, they are not seeing, you are not visible. Even though they know that these all feats cannot be done by ordinary persons, only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do, but still they are not able to accept this because they are mudhas. So, and also Prabhupada mentions about not only superhuman activities, but then Krishna has performed marvelous, he set an example of a marvelous hero, and then as a teacher, as a renouncer, but still people could not understand him. Most people could not understand him. And even he was accepted by most authoritative personalities like Narada, Vyasa, Devala, Asita, all of them, Bhishma, and then all Mahajans have accepted him as Krishna. But still there are people who are mudhas who cannot understand. And apart from that, Krishna himself has declared his divinity in many scriptures. Still, they are not able to understand. Yet the demoniac mentality were always reluctant to accept the Lord. Yeah. And then why is that they have this, why is the tendency there not to accept the Lord? Because there are three reasons for not able to see or accept the Lord. Due to poor fund of knowledge. One of the reason. And partially due to the stubborn nature. And that stubborn nature is because of the previous karma, because of misdeeds in their past or present. So in spite of giving the proper training also, because of their karmic this thing, they cannot understand. And the third one is, they try to see the Lord through their imperfect senses. They depend on their imperfect senses and try to understand. Example, we can give material scientists. So these are the three reasons which are making the people not to see Krishna or not to understand Krishna. Nato natyadharo yatah. So as an artist dressed as a player. So if you go back to this verse, I'll read the translation again. So you are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. So, this is how he is saying. All the previous examples which I gave, it is like Lord Krishna was there before and he was doing all these things, yet the people were not able to see. Just like when somebody is in a play, when somebody is put all the makeup and then is in a disguise of some person, people cannot recognize him. That's how the mudas were not able to recognize Krishna when he did all this. Even in the past, when he was personally there, and now also, even after reading the scriptures, people cannot understand Krishna. And then there is one example in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So once actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Chandrasekhar Acharya to actually organize for a drama. So in that play, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is itself he was a choreographer and he was a director for that everything. In that play, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts the role of Goddess of Fortune. female role. So he acts. His mother, Sachi Mata, she will be so much attracted to that personality, goddess of fortune. And then she will be bewildered, like, who is this? I've never seen. And then, and later when everybody tells that he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she will just faint. So it is like, it's a very nice analogy. What, see, even the mother who knows the child, let's say when Maharaj are giving classes and a lot of kids will be playing in a room, right? If one kid screams, exactly the mother will identify, okay, this is my kid based on the voice, and then they will just run. So, but Lord's potency is such that if he doesn't want to disclose himself, nobody can identify him. Even his mother could not identify. That is his... So then again, Prabhupada has given a very nice process for the people who do not have life. Earlier we said that you need to have santas sadaiva hrudayeshu. Yeah. So yeah, unless you have that love, you cannot see. But what about normal people? Most of them, they do not have love. They do not have that prema. Then what about them? How can they see the God? And if they want to make some steps towards God, then what is there for them? That is where Prabhupada recommends, like, temple worship, archa vigraha, is important for such kind of people. And also observing the regulations. So here it is not confined just to the temples. There, here Prabhupada is clearly saying, even to the churches or mosques, gurudwaras or synagogues, wherever the people who want to go and want to get close to the Lord, yes, these are the places where they can go and start worshipping the Lord. And then he compared that for these less intelligent persons, bowing down before the authority of the Lord, as generally done in the temple, mosques or churches, is as beneficial as it for the advanced devotee to meditate upon him by active service. So that is how they can advance further. The first step is to, like, do the temple. They come to the temple, see the Lord, bow to the Lord. And then I have heard Maharaj lecture, Rumpad Maharaj lecture. He specifically adds few more points to this. He says that just by seeing the deity, it's not that we have now recognized Krishna or we have realized Krishna. But that is an opportunity to do active service to the deity. Then the divinity of the Archa Vigraha will be disclosed. So there is a very, I like that point very much, like just coming and then seeing the Krishna's Archa Vigraha, oh, now I have realized Krishna now. That is not the point actually. It's an opportunity to serve the deity. Then the divinity will be disclosed to us. And then he also, apart from that, he adds the points. Similarly, serving Bhuk Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam, the great service is done. It purifies one's existence, removing the layers of covering, and can see Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam as disclosed by person Bhagavatam. So our process, the Krishna consciousness process, is to perceive Krishna through the act of service. That's why we call it as devotional service, not just saying, yeah, devotion. So, and then he adds up all the things what we do in this devotional service. So we follow the Pancharatrika Vidhi, where we say, we actually serve the book Bhagavata, the person Bhagavata, deity worship, chanting. Plus, we carry out all our daily activities in that particular consciousness. So, and the whole principle behind this is to fix the mind in devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is beyond senses. So that's what the Kunti Devi is saying here. So first we talked about unalloyed, like, persons who can actually with love, those who have love, they can, how they can see Krishna. But now he talks about those who don't have love, addressing most of us. What are the steps? So finally it covers everything. Pancharatrika Vidhi, like serve Bhagavata, book Bhagavata, person Bhagavata, chanting, deity worship, and carrying out all of the activities in that particular mode. That means 24/7 we are in that consciousness. That's when actually the love develops. That's what the next principle is, fixing the mind in devotion on the Supreme Lord who is beyond the senses. We'll go to the next verse.
Tatha paramahamsanam neenam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katam pashyamehi striyah.
You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service onto the hearts of advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we, women, know you perfectly? I think I missed So, this shows the humility of Kunti Devi here. So, even though she understands completely the Krishna's position, she is humbly placing that how can we understand Krishna where you are actually, where he says that you descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service onto the hearts of advanced transcendentalists. So you specifically descend to propagate the devotional service to the hearts of advanced and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate. And then how are we going to be? And then how can the woman know you perfectly? So this directly indicates, from that it indicates, if the so for the advanced transcendentalists, if they are advanced transcendentalists, why does the Lord have to come to give them? So that itself says, indirectly it says that these are not the qualifications to obtain the love of God or to know God for understanding Krishna. See, you yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotions unto the hearts of advanced transcendentalists. If they are advanced, they should know, right? But then you, why do you have to personally give? Because ultimately, whatever qualification you have, that doesn't matter. Krishna has to give it to you. That's what it is here. So here, Kunti Devi is clearly saying that even though the woman, they cannot discriminate or not discriminate, they are not philosophical mostly, but it doesn't matter. She is giving the hope. It doesn't matter. It is all, you need to have the devotion to the Supreme Lord, and then Lord will give you, Lord will bless you to see Him. That's what she is. So this, Prabhupada has given a very nice example of humility. Like when the tree is bearing with full of fruits, then out of humility it actually completely bends down. So here Kunti Devi, she perfectly knows. That's why she is humbly putting that question to Krishna. But whereas a barren tree, it starts growing its branches upwards and straight, because it doesn't have anything. It's not humble. It doesn't have any fruits. So that means a person without a knowledge, he's proud. But a person who knows everything, who knows Krishna fully, he's actually humble. So again, Prabhupada adds very nice things. So the propensity to speculate is greater for the men, especially for the souls in the body of the men. That interface is open up. The propensity to speculate is that interface in the men's body is open. So they start speculating. They are not humble. But whereas when the soul is in the body of a woman, that is actually a reward to the woman, because they don't have to waste the time in speculation. And this is a special blessing for the woman. Because they believe at once in the superiority of the Almighty Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservations. That's why in Prabhupada says, in most of the gatherings, religious gatherings, you see more women than men. Because of their natural soft-heartedness and eagerness to worship God. And the men, out of like egoistic nature, no, I want to find myself. That's when they go into the speculative mode. And Prabhupada also calls out some points about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What he says is like the first quality of a devotee is like simplicity. And then there are the two connotations for it. And there are more actually, but I heard only two. One is like speaking the truth, and whatever it is, like being straightforward, and then keeping yourself simple with only the necessary things. When we do these things, then actually that is when we start progressing. And then also Bhaktivinoda Thakur says how we can check the progress of the spiritual life. Life is like when we start losing attraction for the material things, then we can see that we are advancing spiritually. So, actually, this is the next verse translations. Sorry. So let us read this next verse.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd man of Vrindavan, and the enliver of the cows and the senses. So in the purport, Prabhupada clearly says about, he talks about how the Lord is unapproachable by any material assets, and the Lord actually descends to this earth out of his boundless, out of his causeless mercy. And why? To show his special mercy upon his annoyed devotees and to diminish the demoniac persons. And in this verse, Queen Kunti specifically adores the descent of the Krishna of all other incarnation. That's why she started saying this prayer like Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Chananda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Because in this particular incarnation, he is more approachable. It's not just to one sect of people. He is approachable to everybody. He is approachable to even irrespective of the race, I mean, irrespective of the caste or creed or anything, everybody. So, there is no parallel to his childhood pastimes as exhibited at Vrajabhumi, which are the prototypes of his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka. Again, if somebody wants to know what are the activities that's going in Krishna Loka, then in the Goloka Vrindavan, this is actually exact replica of the activities that are going. So, that is why Kunti Devi specially adores this one. So everybody who wishes to serve the Lord, to be with the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan, they actually desire to actually relish those pastimes. And Krishna's pastimes are exact replica of those pastimes. Krishna's pastimes in Vrajabhumi are exact replica of the pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. That's why Kunti Devi is specifically attracted to this. And the other reason, had he not become the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not have claimed him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. This could have not been possible for her. So these are a couple of reasons like why the Prabhupada has quoted why Kunti was specifically attracted for this incarnation of Krishna as he is. And he also calls about in that one, but Nanda and Yashoda are more fortunate because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all the pastimes. Lord Krishna descends himself at Vrajabhumi with all his transcendental entourage and perfume. Sorry, I actually just copied the purport as it is. I couldn't find much information, or rather I didn't find much time to go through, so I just copied it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also confirms that there is no one as fortunate as the residents of Vrajabhumi, and specifically the cowherd girls, or the gopis, who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. His pastimes with Nanda and Yashoda, and his pastimes with the cowherd man, and especially with the cowherd boys and cows, have caused him to be known as Govinda. So, that is why everything is included in this. There is nothing we can look for outside of this pastime. All the leelas have been incorporated within this Krishna's pastime in the Vrajabhumi. That's why Kunti is more attracted to it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also explaining that about the greatness of this. And actually Prabhupada brings out one important point about human prosperity depends more on Brahmarican culture, Brahmanical culture and cow protection, because it's Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo. We sing this prayer. So Krishna is more satisfied or pleased when there is a cow protection and then the Brahmanical Brahmanas are protected and Brahmanical culture is prevailing. So he is more pleased. We'll go to the last verse.
Namah Pankajanabhaya, Namah Pankajamanine, Namah Pankajanitraya, Namaste Pankajandraye.
My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as a lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So here, if you see, in the purport, Prabhupada clearly says that in order not to embarrass Krishna, Kunti Devi actually doesn't talk about the feet first. She actually starts from the describing about the abdomen and then goes upwards. But in the general practice, devotees should actually start looking from the feet to the face or to the head of the Lord. They should go in ascending way from the feet to the Lord. But here Kunti, in order not to embarrass the Lord, she did, that's what Prabhupada explains. So she is describing Pankajanabhaya and then Pankajamalini and Netraya, and then she comes to the feet and Namaste Pankajangri. And then Prabhupada also clearly explains in this one, what is that distinguishes the Lord's body from us, from all other living entities? It is the specific symbols, the symbolic marks on the spiritual body, on the spiritual body of the personality of God. They are all specific features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific bodily features. So even though when Lord appeared as Krishna, he had this. Even though when you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had the specific symbols that represents the distinction between our body and the Lord's body. So within the purport, Prabhupada brings or talks about the importance of the temple worship. So here, Kunti Devi actually claims herself fit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. She is not only addressing just herself but to all others. Not only woman, there says Shudras. In the next verse, if you see, in the next sentence, if you see, this is claimed because women, Shudras, or the labor class, and the Dvijabandhus, or the wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand the transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, form, etc. of the Supreme Absolute Truth. That means we are not discriminating just the women's here. Shudras means in this Kali Yuga, it is all, practically all of them. So all of them are like unfit to actually understand the transcendental nature or transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, qualities, form of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So that is when the Lord, out of causeless mercy, has come into the existence as the Archavigraha. And then now we see how it is happening. So such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archavigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favor to the fallen souls, including the above mentioned women, Sudras and Dvijabandhus. And how is that, how he descends as the Archavigraha is explained later. And also, why is known as Pankajanabhaya is also said here. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter. This is very important. They cannot see anything beyond matter. The Lord condenses to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen, And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. So there are two points here to know. So here there is explanation of why the Lord is called as Pankajanabhi, and also the explanation of why the Lord, how we can see the Lord as Archavigraha. Because the Lord, in the form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, is actually entering into all the universes, and later in the form of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, entering into all the atoms, and all these elements are actually formed, made out of that, all the wood, metal, and then this Lord is residing, and we can actually see the Lord's existence in this way. So in this statement, actually there's two things, Pankajanabhi, and because when Lord enters into all the universes as the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and from his abdomen, which is actually shaped like a pankaja, the lotus flower, lotus pankaja, that's why it's called as a Pankajanabhi, and from within where the lotus flower comes up, and then where Brahma resides on that. The Pankajanabhi Lord accepts the Archavigraha, his transcendental form, in different elements, namely a form within the mind, a form of wood, because a form within the mind, this is higher transcendentalists can do, but for the lower people who doesn't have a love for the Lord, for them it is recommended that they develop it through worshipping the form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewel, a form made of a paint, a form drawn on sand, etc. And how should the Archavigraha be worshipped? He says, all such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be smooth, soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees who are always engaged in material wranglings. That's what happens in our temple. If you see the example, we are decorating the deities very beautifully, so that all the people can come and take the darshan. Yeah. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Shudras and Dvijabandhus, provided they agree to the visit to the temple of worship in different forms made for them. This is already. So again, Prabhupada is clearly saying this, stressing on this point. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. As I mentioned earlier, one should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet and gradually raising to the things. So one should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet. But the special case for Srimati Kunti Devi is like being an aunt of the Lord, she didn't want to humiliate the Lord. So all the great acharyas established, that is the reason, seeing the conditional state, like all the living entities, they don't have the pure love of God. But they, if somebody wants to desire and then go, for this reason, the acharyas have actually established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligence. One should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the Shudras and the women's salas. That means practically addressing everybody. So we should not pose ourselves like, okay, temple worship is not for us. So it should be combined with chanting. And foremost is Shravanam. In the previous slides, foremost is Shravana, then Bhagavat Sevanam, that is serving book Bhagavata and person Bhagavata, then Archavigraha worshipping, chant, and then doing our activities, duties in that particular consciousness. And I didn't have much time, I had only like one day to read, and then so I could not read much. Only I took like Prabhupada Vani, and then I heard like two lectures from Prabhupada. So anything, any questions to discuss?
Question is, how do you have one day?
How do I have?
How do you have one day for preparation?